Hi, I'm Kenzie.
I'm Jamie.
And this is the Codependent Podcast. Welcome back to another week of your favorite podcast.
Hello, fam.
It's your favorite host.
Your favorite host, Jamie.
And Kenzie.
Hey! I was waiting. I literally was like waiting for you to like introduce me. It's fine. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Doing swell.
You look pretty in pink today. Ooh, and your Stanley is like matching you.
I didn't even realize that, to be honest. But
now that you're like you've had long enough with your Simply Modern, which would you choose? I mean, now you have your Awala too.
I do.
You're such like an emotional support water bottle kind of girly.
I know. I just want to try them all, you know?
What's your favorite?
I don't really have a favorite.
Okay.
I like them all for different reasons.
Wow. So inclusive.
I know. Look at me.
Look at you.
Yeah. I like the Awala because I love the like straw.
And I love version. That you can throw it in a bag.
I can throw it in my bag. I can throw it, like if I run out of cup holders, if I'm going to like Chick-fil-A, I can throw it on the ground. Like,
which happens often.
I can't do that if I have my Stanley. Like you can't just put it on the ground.
Yeah.
Or like on your seat.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It will spill. But obviously Stanleys are like very aesthetic.
Yeah. I think a Stanleys and Simply Modern are more aesthetic.
Yeah.
But a Awala is more functional.
Yes.
Is it a Awala?
A Awala.
Okay.
And the Stanley is, or the Simply Modern is like thinner, which I like, is not as bulky if you just want like a thinner one. So I love them all.
Wow, Jamie.
You're so girly.
You're so nice to everybody.
I just, whatever's clean is what I grab.
I get that.
So it's nice to have the options.
I told DJ I kind of wanted an Awala for Mother's Day.
That's a good one.
But I also then told him I didn't want anything. So
that's a good one. It's like $20.
I told him like, let's just do a no spending Mother's Day. Like have the kids make me a craft.
I would love to see DJ facilitate that.
that's literally what I told him.
Would he even know where to find crayons?
I don't know.
There's no way.
I don't know. But I told him, I said, I just want something made by my children on Mother's Day. I don't want you to spend any money on me.
But low key, you'll be disappointed if he doesn't get you anything.
No, we like actually are not doing gifts because our anniversary is in 1 month.
Yeah, and mine's in like the day after.
Well, exactly. So our anniversary's in a month in like a week. So I don't know. I would rather like do like a staycation and then do something that celebrates both of us rather than something that just celebrates me.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
So I just told him, I'm like, we had reservations to Roost Chris. We're going to go out to a nice dinner and we ended up canceling that. And we're just going to do like a really low key Mother's Day. I don't know. I'm just feeling more low key this year. I think what we're going to do is just go get like takeout somewhere like Cane's or In-N-Out or something.
Yep.
And then we're going to go drive out to the desert and have like a nostalgic Mother's Day because that's what we used to always do.
Perfect.
So just low key. Yes. And then he said he'll make me breakfast on Sunday. So.
Okay, done. That's a good one.
I have to sneeze. It almost came out, but it's going to come back. I know it.
Sneeze.
Do you guys have any plans for Mother's Day?
Yeah, we're going to go to dinner.
Where you're going to Greenhouse?
Yep.
Did you ask Justin for anything?
No, I didn't.
Your anniversary is not till next weekend.
Yeah, my anniversary and my birthday is next weekend. So,
dude, poor freaking Justin. May's got to suck for him.
Yeah.
Not suck. It's probably really good and fun and celebrative.
Celebratory.
Celebratory. But also, that's a lot on his plate.
I know. It is.
And then he graduated this month, too. Like,
I know. It's a big month for us.
He's got a lot going on.
I know.
Have you decided what you're going to do for your birthday yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, my birthday, my friends are throwing me a party. Nice.
But then what about like your anniversary?
I don't know about that yet.
You're still deciding?
Nope. Justin can't really like think about anything else. He's just like consumed with graduation.
Well, that was a lot. His family was here. Yes, he has graduation.
Exactly.
Like it's a lot.
Which is fine. I just feel like we haven't like sat down on anything.
Yeah, talked about it.
So
Mother's Day will be soon. Fun. Are you guys going to go like shopping after or anything?
I don't know. Just get out, go celebrate.
Did you ask him for anything for Mother's Day?
No, I didn't. I don't like want anything right now.
Yeah.
I just feel like I have everything I need.
There's like little tiny things that I like want that definitely are not a need.
Yes.
Like I want new workout clothes,
yes,
but it's not a need.
Yes.
You know, like
exactly.
I want that water bottle. I have 50 Stanleys.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
I know.
So I don't know. I just feel like there's like a bunch of stuff close together. And then it was like the kids' birthdays were like last week and a month ago. And so I'm just like, I don't really need anything.
Yep.
I feel pretty content with where I am right now.
I know.
Just want to like have a date night.
Exactly.
Just celebrate.
That's me. I just want to go on a date night.
I want to take a freaking nap on Sunday.
That's all I'm doing.
That's
like 100%.
I'm locking my door and I'm saying nobody talk to me.
Yes. I'm taking a nap.
Yeah. And then I just want DJ to cook me food.
Yes.
Are we doing anything? Are we doing anything with mom on actual Mother's Day?
No.
It's
my day.
Yeah.
I mean, we're celebrating a whole entire night for mom.
Yeah,
obviously mom deserves it, but like I'm a mom too now.
Like, no, I actually really agree with that. Actually, that's kind of a hot take, Jamie.
That is a hot take.
I agree with that hot take, but yes, that is a hot take.
That is a hot take. And not that you shouldn't go celebrate your mom on Mother's Day.
Like obviously they birthed you.
Yes, they birthed you. Like obviously they're important and they deserve love. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm a mom now. Like I don't want to go to mom's house, help cook, and then help clean.
Oh, heck no.
And like, it's my day too. Like,
no,
you know what I mean?
Well, and like,
not that mom like makes me do that, but like.
But you just like feel yes. like it was like we all have to celebrate mom because she's the mom.
Exactly.
But it's like, I don't need to celebrate the mom. I am the mom.
I am the mom now.
No, it's my, the reason I asked is because we do every other for my in-laws.
Oh.
I don't really follow that when it comes to my family.
I feel like, I have another hot take. Go, continue.
I never really follow that when it's my family. Like yes. if it's their year, I still make time for my family.
Yes.
But if
yes.
it's my family's year, I don't make time for their family. which sounds really bad, but like.
No, it's hard when you're
We
the
always
girl.
Try to like show up.
Yes.
And like, even if we show up for a little bit, that's yes. not like at the same time as everyone else.
Exactly.
We still always try to make an appearance, but it's just DJ is just, I mean, he's a guy, you know?
Yeah. No, it's harder.
But yeah, they texted and they were like, just a reminder, it's like our off year for in-laws. So like. Go spend it like with your families, whatever. And in my head, I was like, oh, we're like not even doing anything for mom for Mother's Day. So should we just go to my in-laws? But also then I liked the point that you made. Like I'm the mom. I don't want to have to get like
I want, yeah, I want Justin to make me breakfast. I want like to go take a nap. I want, yeah. I want to like, if we want to go on a drive or a walk, like I don't put the kids down that day.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
But I also, okay, this is like something that's like kind of interesting to me. I feel like, why, and maybe it's just because my in-laws don't live here, but like, why is every single holiday have to be one or the other? Like those holidays, like, I don't know, like Christmas and Easter, like those are the only ones that make sense in my mind that should be one or the other. Like, I don't know. I get like Mother's Day and Father's Day, but like, here's like a little gift. We love you. Hope you have a good day. Like, why is it like you need to go one or the other? Like, I don't like that. I just feel like that's weird.
I agree to a certain extent. But think about like your like mom, like think about our family. Like I want to do like every holiday with my family.
But we don't.
Like, I mean, we do most. We normally do Mother's Day, but we're just doing Mother's Day early this year.
Yeah.
But like we normally would do Mother's Day. Like I feel like we always go over on Father's Day.
I just don't remember doing that ever.
I feel like I remember it.
I don't.
I remember all getting together last year. I feel like I remember.
We didn't because it's your anniversary. Father's Day is your anniversary.
It's around my anniversary, but I think we still did something, didn't we?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Mother's Day and Father's Day to me are like not.
Mom's like the bigger holiday type of girl.
Yeah, so those holidays I definitely don't care that much about.
Yeah, like 4th of July. Like,
oh.
Why do you switch off families?
I don't think we switch off families for
no,
the 4th of July.
We don't, but a lot of people do.
That's weird.
I just feel like.
No, that's weird.
Like St. Patrick's Day. Like why are we switching
off?
Wait,
do people actually do that?
People do that.
No, like, that's weird.
That's just like weird to me. Like,
I feel like my in-laws do a really good job of like, they don't, we never really celebrate unless it's Christmas and Easter.
Yes, yes.
We never celebrate on the actual day. Like
yeah.
we always, like my mother-in-law is very like, she loves holidays. And yes. so like.
Which I get, same.
I get, same. And, but she'll always like allow the holiday to be spent with like our little individual families.
Yes,
so like,
yes.
let's say
which
she,
I love that.
She wanted to do something for St. Patrick's Day. She would do it like 4 days early. Yes. Or she'd say, come drop the kids off.
I feel like as an in-law, that is the best. Even as a parent, like I feel like that's the best way because now that you have like an established family.
You want to do stuff on your own.
You want to like make your own kids' traditions.
Exactly. Like Valentine's Day. They always do yes. a Valentine's Day thing. And that was an adjustment. When I first got married, I'm like, why would I want to spend Love Day with my in-laws? But now I get it because
yeah.
they just want to like exchange Valentines and it's cute for the
and
kids.
It's cute. But like, let's do that 4 days early.
And that's what we do.
Yes.
Which that's perfect.
Because like, I want to go out with my husband on Valentine's Day. Mom has always been good. Like, because when we were younger, she would get us like little Valentine's
yes.
gifts. But like, her and dad always went out.
Like, oh, yeah.
That was not like something we all do together. And so, which I get, it's Love Day, but like, I love my husband.
I love my husband. I don't love like, my in-laws that way.
In that way.
I do love my in-laws, but not in that way.
Exactly. So it's like, yeah. No, I just, holidays are very interesting.
Holidays are hard when you live by both your family.
Yeah.
Christmas, exhausting. Like literally it's the most exhausting day of the year for me.
Yeah. This Christmas is going to be different because Gary and Tina and their whole family will be here.
Yeah. So we're going to all have to like coordinate, which I feel like me and Kat already have to coordinate. So throwing you into the mix, we all just will coordinate and it'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll just be the opposite. Like, you guys usually coordinate a small amount of time with the in-laws and more time with mom and dad. I'll be the opposite. I'll have a small amount of time with mom and dad.
Because they're coming this year. Because
they're coming here. Which, so I don't want to be like, bye, I'm going to my parents.
That,
like,
totally makes sense. But also what you could do is, like, is everybody coming?
Everybody's
See,
coming.
That makes it hard. Because if, yes, it was just his parents, then they could come over and, like, watch the game with us. Yeah. And, like, not have it be, like, this big thing. But, yeah, that makes it harder.
Yeah.
So. But we'll make it work.
Yes.
It's weird, yes, like, getting older. Like, I feel like I always wanted to, like, wake up at, like, my mom's house on Christmas. But it's, like,
no,
the best
no,
Christmas,
yeah,
is, like, being, like, by ourselves doing our own thing in the morning. Yep. It's just, it's nice, you,
yeah,
know?
No, it's nice. It's really nice.
So, wait, what were we talking about? Mother's Day. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We have the best Mother's Day plan for our mom tonight. Yeah, we can talk about it because it's coming out Monday. Because,
yeah.
We got her a... so extra, but between the four of us, this is like her present, so it's really not that extra. We rented a stretch Hummer limo, yes, to take us out to dinner tonight,
yeah,
at Etta, which Etta's like our favorite.
So good.
And we're just having a girls' night.
Yeah, it'll,
like,
be fun.
Mom's favorite thing on the planet is just, like, spending time with her girls.
Totally.
Don't you think?
Yeah, no, I do. I think that she'll love it. And we got, like, the VIP package, so it has, like, red carpet, balloons, a banner, like, all the things. So it's going to be fun. She's literally going to die. She's going to, like, she keeps being like, so what are we doing? Where are we going? And I'm like, it's not that cool. I promise. Like,
I keep telling her we're going to all get matching tattoos because she needs to have the matching cis tattoo.
She needs a cis tattoo.
She really does.
Yeah, honestly.
Though. But it'll be really fun. I'm, like, so excited to go out tonight. I'm honestly, like, starving already. So I'm really excited to eat.
I'm actually starving. So.
Let's do close friends.
Yeah, close friends, fam.
What do you got, Jamie? Or do you want me to go first?
No, I can go first. So, let's see. Oh, okay. This is, like, kind of close friends, but also kind of just, like, I thought it was really funny. And I saw it this morning, and I was going to save it for my As Seen on TikTok, but I just wanted to, like, talk about it because I felt like it was so funny. If you guys follow JC Marie Smith, she's, like, really cute. She has a podcast, all the things. And she did, like, a whole video about the Mormon trek.
Did you see I commented on
it? I was literally dying.
No, I commented on it and I was like, but the bonnets were fire.
Like, I was dying because you forget that people don't really know, like, what that is. And people all in her comment box was just like, what? Like, what? You're lying. Like, there's no way this can be true. And it brought me back to my trek because that is, like, really...
In the moment, it didn't seem that weird.
In the moment, it doesn't seem weird. And then you talk about it.
Then you talk about it with somebody that has no idea what it is. And then it's, like, the weirdest thing somebody could do.
It's, like...
So let's go over, Jamie.
Fully cult.
What?
Fully cult. Like, I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that's what it appears to be.
The vibe. It gives culty vibes.
It gives cult vibe. 100%.
It's not. And it was such a good memory. And I,
for,
like...
For sure.
I value... what I learned on the trek, and I, like, have no bad feelings about it, and it doesn't make me want to leave my religion. But, like, if somebody told me that they did this, I would be like,
I would be on the floor actually laughing my,
so, Jamie,
wait, which one is it?
I think it's the yellow one.
This one?
No.
I can't see you.
Green. Green. It's green. I mean, that kind of goes. Wait, try the orange one.
This one?
Okay.
Frick. I'd be laughing my off.
No. Okay, so the trek. Here's what it is. We go when you have to be over 14. You have to be 14 to 18 years old to, yes, go on the trek.
Yes.
Basically, what you do is you go out to the middle of nowhere. Basically,
literally the middle of nowhere.
And they have you pull, you get into families. They're supposed to be like your families. And
so it's like random other youth, random ages. Like, you're not all with, like, 17-year-olds. Like, you're with, like, a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old.
And you 0% get to pick who you're with.
Yeah, you 0% get to pick, and you get, like, assigned a mom, pa, who is, like...
Your parents.
Who is, like, yeah, they're your parents on the trek, but they're not your actual parents. They're, yes, like, a person from church who volunteered to, like, go out and be the mom, pa of the trek.
So you pull hand carts.
First of all, you have to put together the hand cart. I don't know if you did.
I didn't have to do that.
We had to put together our hand
cart.
Oh,
we didn't have to do that.
We had to, like, earn the wheel, and then we had to earn... the wagon. And then
we
had to do that, and then we had to put it all together. So you have to put together an entire,
and when we say hand cart, like, it's the size of, like, a dining room table. Oh, more than that.
More. It weighed, I mean, it weighs enough for, like, I think there's 5 kids in each family and 2 mom and pa, and everybody has to help pull it.
Yeah, or push.
Or push it. So, like,
you can't do it by yourself.
It's huge. I would say it's the size of a small car.
It is.
Not a dining table.
Maybe, like, what's the tiny cars? Like, the ones that are, like, the Fiats or whatever. Like,
I would say it's bigger than that.
No, it's pretty big.
It's huge.
But let me also remind you, we are wearing full length, arms completely covered.
Arms to ankles.
To the floor, dresses with an apron and a bonnet over our heads.
And a pure bonnet.
So what we're replicating is the trek that our ancestors, our pioneers, made into Salt Lake.
They did a trek. They got, if you don't know much about, like, Mormon history, they got, like, persecuted and kicked out of Missouri. Right, Missouri?
Yes.
And
don't quote me.
Don't quote me on that, fam.
Sounds right.
And they got kicked out and they had to flee across the prairies and the plains and the mountains, and they had to come to Salt Lake. That's why Salt Lake is, like, that's why Utah is so full of Mormons, because that's, like, where they established. But they had to go there, and so they endured, like, a lot of really hard things. They had, like, there was pregnant women, children died on the trek, like, they had no food.
Yeah, freezing cold.
Freezing cold. Men were called to war during that time, so women had to do it alone. So there's, like, a lot of history that goes behind it, but
we have to impersonate.
We have to do that.
Happening.
So we get, like, a small glimpse of what they went through.
Yeah. And we even have, like, I don't know if this happened on yours. This is TMI, but I'm going to say it anyway. But on your trek, the mom and pa have a baby, and you get, like, a baby doll, but then it dies.
Yeah.
So, and then you have to bury your baby doll.
So ours went to the next level. So our mom and pa had a baby, but what it was is, okay, no. They didn't have a baby. On our trek, the mom and pa, one day, everyone from the ward, from the stake, sorry, the stake is, like, multiple wards put together, just for reference, they brought their young kids. So, like, a little girl we used to babysit named Ella, she was there. So everybody brought their young kids, like, ages 7 and younger, and it was, like, impersonating that a family had died overnight. Or family had died, and now you have to adopt this kid.
Okay.
So instead of a fake baby doll, we had to take an actual kid with us all day long. They had to sit on the wagon, so it's an extra
40
to 50 pounds to push and pull. And we had to feed them, and they were instructed to whine and cry most of the day.
Fun.
So we had to do that, and then overnight they died.
Oh.
So that was ours.
Yeah, no.
So we had, like, a little kid, and...
So let me tell you my most embarrassing moment of my whole life happened on trek.
Okay, tell me now.
Have you heard about this? I think you have. So this is my most embarrassing moment to ever happen in my whole life. When you're on trek, you're sleeping in a sleeping bag on the ground. So I'm asleep on the ground. Well, actually, that's not true. Back up. Everyone was at fires. It was, like, a fun night. We, like,
you get
played,
like, a bonfire
game.
Night,
yes, it was, like, that game. It was that night. And I literally fell asleep by a fire. I'm not even being dramatic. I can like vividly remember it because I, like, it was a core memory for me, but I, like, just fell asleep and I woke up and I was walking around the campsite, like,
alone,
barefoot, Jamie, barefoot, no idea where I was. I was walking around, and then finally somebody stopped me, and there was, like, 50 families. You're, like, 50 mom paws. Like, there was
a lot.
And I just was wandering the camp. No idea where I belonged. No idea who I was with. I was fully sleepwalking. And this person found me, and they were like, tell me one person that's in your family. And I, like, came up with a name because I actually knew people that were in my family. And they, like, found my family. They literally put me into my sleeping bag. And I remember my foot touched an apple. I put an apple in my sleeping bag because
they ration your food.
Because everybody had apple pie for dinner, but I don't like apple pie, and I wasn't also hungry. So I kept my apple and I put it in my sleeping bag to eat at night, and it touched my foot, and then I ate an ice cold apple, and then I fell back asleep. And then the next morning, there was a mom-pa meeting because there was a wandering kid, and it was me.
Oh.
And they got up and talked about this in front of everybody, and my mom-pa had to say it was me, and everybody knew it was me, and I was fully sleepwalking around.
Dude, honestly, that is going to be Payson. She sleepwalks.
I sleepwalk, especially when I'm not in my normal environment.
Yeah, that's 100% going to be your daughter.
Yeah. Like, I'd go to sleepovers, and I would, like, find myself in random places because I...
Dude, that is so sketch.
No, dude. But I never sleepwalk. Ever. But when I'm in an environment that I am not aware of or I'm not used to, that's when I sleepwalk.
Yeah, it's like... No, I get
the most embarrassing was that they just like announced it in front of everybody.
You're like, yeah, I was. How old were you?
I went when I was 14.
Okay. You were the youngest.
I was the youngest of the group because they wanted me to go to the same year as Kendall.
Okay.
So Kendall went when she was 16. I went when I was 14. So we could go on the same track.
Yes, yes.
But
I think that they should raise the age limit. I think that's really young.
I was really young.
Like, I think they should do 16 to 18.
I agree.
Like, I don't want a 12-year-old boy in my family that can't help me.
But here's why. Because they only do the trek every 4 years.
I know. So they want everybody to do it.
Everybody be able to go if you're 14 to 18.
Yeah, I did it when I was 18.
When you're in those 4-year gap, you can go. Yep. Like, I could have went with you too. Yeah. If I wanted to go on another trek, I could have gone with you because I was only 18.
Yes.
But I didn't want to redo that.
No.
So anyways, the trek.
Yeah, so they ration your food too. Like, you only get like a certain amount of food because like you're full. They're not starving you, but you're definitely not like, you don't get to like eat snacks whenever you want. Like,
yeah.
And you like all cook the food. We had to build a chicken coop and we had to have a chicken and we had to slaughter the chicken at night. And it's the whole thing. It's like a whole experience.
It really is.
And you have to eat out of like tin, like a tin cup.
No, they really go to the next level. Like, it's not like, it's not for fun. It's like, they want you to like,
no, they do.
They want you to like, and realize the endurance it took for our ancestors
and
to do it.
you don't get a tent. You're literally sleeping in, you get a sleeping bag on the hard ground of a forest. Like, you do not have any plush. You don't have anything. You don't have a pillow. Like, you just get what you get.
I brought my iPod.
You did?
And no one found it.
Oh my gosh, I brought mascara. I hid it. So I was like, I don't want to be ugly.
I watched The Office. I literally put it in my bra because they searched your bags. And
they searched your bags. You and can't
I,
have your phone.
I put it in my bra and
I actually brought my phone.
You did?
Yeah, I was like, I'm 18, bae.
That's true.
I turned it off. I honestly literally looked at it one single time and then I was like,
well,
you know
probably
what?
Don't even have service anyway.
Well, exactly. You're literally in the, like, in a, in a mountain.
I went when I was 14, so mom
took
my phone. Yeah. But I took my iPod because I really wanted to.
I was just like, I'm going to take my phone. And I like hit it, but I put it in my sleeping bag at the bottom of my sleep bag and I rolled
it up
my sleeping bag.
Yep.
But no, I mean, it's a character building experience, but it's also very, very odd.
Very odd. But if you got more questions, let us know.
Let us know. Maybe we can like.
I could pull up some photos from Trek.
Yeah, same. I got some good ones.
I probably don't have good ones, but I probably look horrendous, but that's fine. So it's all about.
That's okay.
My close friends, besides the fact that I went on the trek and I shared my most embarrassing moment. This really is close friends because I didn't talk about this on Instagram. But last night was Justin's graduation. It was so good. It was so fun. We had a babysitter. Jamie, you know what's funny?
What?
When Clara left my house, my babysitter, she was like, yeah, Pierce was like tooting a lot. She's like, so don't be surprised if he has like a stomach ache. And I was like, oh, he always is tooting.
He always is. He's a little boy.
And I like didn't think anything of it. Last night, I woke up. This is actually like so crazy because it's so mother's intuition. But I woke up at like 1:45 and I was like so thirsty. I was like, I need to go get a drink of water. So I got up. I start going to get a drink of water. And I thought, you know, when you like phantom noises, I like thought I heard Pierce. But I was like, that was probably just in my head.
Yes.
So I go back into my room and I like sit back down, like about to go back to sleep, and I hear Pierce crying. And it's not like normal, like I dropped Blankie out of my crib or like I'm just awake because I heard you. He was like bawling and then he was like coughing. And I was like, what's going on? Like, so I go in there, vomit everywhere.
Honestly, nasty.
Everywhere.
Nasty.
Nasty. So I pick him up out of his bed and I'm like freaking out because DJ's still asleep and I don't want to wake Payson up and he's like gagging and coughing and I like can't get him to stop. And so I go get a bucket from our kitchen, the popcorn bucket. And we go in our room and he's like,
bucket.
It was so sad because he's never thrown up before.
Aww.
And so he was like shaking and he was like gagging and it was so sad. And so we like let him stay in our room for like 45 minutes. He was like laughing at videos of dogs on DJ's phone. Like he was fine.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Kids
are definitely more resilient than we are.
Yeah. So we put him back in his room.
I throw up, I'm out for weeks.
Oh, don't talk to me. Don't call me. So I put him back in his room at like probably 3:00 and he went right back to sleep. Didn't wake up until like 7:38 and he had like really bad diarrhea, but he acted completely normal this morning. So I don't know what happened, but yeah, he puked last night and I am freaking tired.
Yeah. That's a long night.
I really want to go home and take a nap today because I am so tired, but that's my close friends. I know it's kind of lame, but hopefully it's not like a super horrible flu and it's just
Unless my kids are like deathly ill, I would never post that on Instagram because people just like go crazy when you say your kids are sick. They're like, they have COVID. They have cancer. What's going on? Like, people actually go insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can't take your kid out of the house for like a month.
Oh, yeah.
Without people being like, you're contagious.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's my thing. Yes. Is like, that's why I don't want to like say my kids are sick on social media. Because if I take them out, like, I mean, this happened when my kids were both sick. And I like, people were so mean to me. And... like literally so mean to me about taking them out like a week later when their pediatrician has cleared them to go out. Like people still
are like, your kid should be in the house for a month.
Exactly. And so I like hate saying my kids are sick because I just never know like what people are going to say. But yes. My podcast girlies, I can say it. But we'll probably keep him home today and make sure that he's doing good and that he is fine. But that is my close friends of the day.
Perf.
Should we move into social media?
Yeah, we should. We should.
So one of
the social media, but we're going to have a quick ad break first.
Oh, let's do our quick ad break, Jamie. I'm actually really excited about today's ads and our today's sponsors for the podcast because I feel like it's one of the products I have been using consistently with my new short hair. It is the Vegamore. Jamie, have you used it yet?
Yes, I haven't used a shampoo and conditioner because I'm finishing out my like old one. I hate to open a new one before I'm finishing with my old one because I'm like, not. I try not to be wasteful.
I totally agree.
And
I haven't used their shampoo conditioner either.
I was actually so excited because I hadn't like heard a lot about Vegamore, but I had like maybe seen like a little bit. First of all, the packaging is out of this world.
Adorable.
It is so pretty, but also like it's sold at Sephora. Like,
I know. We walked in and we saw.
And I was like, this is Vegamore.
And it's all clean ingredients.
It's all clean ingredients.
Which we know Jamie's all about that.
You know, I love that.
I have been using their eyebrow and eyelash serums.
Oh, yes.
And I actually have seen a really big difference in my eyebrows.
Okay.
I love the serum. I don't know what it is, but I love the packaging. I love the way it feels on my eyebrows. I feel like it is so good. And it's supposed, and they also have their hair, like the shampoo and conditioner that's supposed to help your hair grow as well, which is really, really nice. And it doesn't have any harsh ingredients. It makes your hair visibly thicker, fuller, shinier, and longer, which we all know we need. It's 100% cruelty-free and never formulated with any potential harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones.
Yeah, I have been using this hair scalp serum. So after your shower, you put it like on your scalp and it's so good. It like tingles a little bit and I love it so far. I love everything. The dry shampoo is incredible. Like I love the dry shampoo. I've been using that. I got a big one and a mini one and they have a scalp brush, like a little scalp scrubber.
I use it every day.
Oh, it's the nicest thing ever. I love a good so scalp good. Scrub.
And I use their dry shampoo.
Yep.
Because I feel like it's really hard to find a clean dry shampoo.
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible.
And theirs is clean. It looks pretty on my counter. It's so good. I literally love it so much. And they also do have monthly subscriptions where you save even more. You never run low on the products that you need to take care of your hair, which as busy moms, a subscription service
is the best thing
ever.
Yeah, no, it's so good. But yeah, also, fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow serum every 15 seconds on their website.
Is that what you're using?
That's what I'm using.
Okay, I need to start using that.
Now look at my hair.
She just got brand new extensions. I'm dead.
It's grown like 12 inches.
Give yourselves the hair you never thought you could have with Vegamore. For a limited time, codependent girlies get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/codependent and use code codependent at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/codependent. Code codependent to save you 20% off your first order. VEGAMOUR.com/codependent. Code codependent.
All righty. And moving on to our next sponsored little
lady.
Ad. Sponsored little whatever. Red, you guys, Red Remedies. We had like the whole, CEO, founder, girl on, and she was so cool. You guys loved that. Like, that was really cool. Let me take that back. She wasn't the CEO founder. She's the master herbalist, which is even cooler because she's the one who's actually,
she knows all the
what
deep
she's
stuff.
Putting into this.
Yeah. Honestly, I was so happy with the feedback that you guys gave us.
Me too. Because I, like, was nervous because that episode's, like, very different than what we do.
But I learned so much.
No, I literally learned so much. It was so cool, and you guys loved that. And I hope that some of you guys have tried it. Reach out to us if you've tried it because I'm excited to like hear like different viewpoints on it too. But you guys know we talked about on there that women are affected by way higher stress levels than men. We all know that. Women Women are the best.
Yes.
And of course, prenatal stress as well, which has way more effects on your pregnancy, fetal health, maternal health, childhood development, all the things.
And it has some significant impact on a woman's ability to conceive, as well as impacting your breast milk supply.
Yeah. And I feel like I definitely feel that in life, that like when you're overly stressed, everything in your life, like your health seems to go down, you get sick, you especially breastfeeding. Like if I'm stressed and not taking care of my body, I 100% can see my breast milk supply go down. Like that is so proven. But what's so cool and so awesome is that we can have a true expert in both women's health and in natural formulations on this episode. And by the way, these actually work. There's so many people that have said that they work. So I'm excited to hear like our codependent girlies and what they think about it.
And we love that they're just specifically for women and even more specifically mama. I mean, their name is Peaceful Mama. Like that's literally what the product is called. So we know it's for our moms. We know it's for our girlies out there. If you need help balancing your hormones, if you need help with your stress levels, there is definitely ways to help. We are so excited that we even have a code for Red's Remedies.
Don't forget, you can go to redremedies.com. That's R-E-D-D, red with two D's, redremedies.com, and use our code CODEPENDENT to get 30% off. You can't find a discount anywhere else, by the way.
It is so good. Stacey's helped us know that there's a natural formula that can truly balance out the big variations of mood, fatigue, and just overall discomfort associated with PMS. The super ingredient, chaseberry, is incredible how it can help bring hormonal balance to women.
So what does that mean, girlies? Confidence, a more predictable and active lifestyle, less discomfort and tiredness each month.
And don't forget to use our code CODEPENDENT at redremedies.com.
Jumping right back into it, ladies.
We wanted to do, and gents.
And gents, if we have a few out there. We're inclusive here.
My father-in-law's listening.
Oh, yeah.
No, we wanted
He's
to,
the one.
We wanted to do kind of a social media episode. We did this about a year and a half ago.
And a lot has changed, guys.
Was it a year and a half ago?
It was probably.
It was like one of our first episodes. And so a lot has changed. There's definitely been like new things that we've learned. And I feel like one of the biggest questions we get, like especially when we're doing like our NGLs, like our anonymous question boxes, or when we ask you guys what you want to hear about, a lot of the times it is social media based, which I definitely understand. Like it is a big subject right now.
Yeah,
like there's a lot going on
with
social media.
There's so much going on. And I think that like one of the biggest things that, well, yeah, I guess if we're just like jumping right into it.
Jamie, jump right into it.
I feel like one of the biggest things and one of the biggest questions is about like the over influx of influencers that is out there right now. And it is actually insane how many, like, I don't know how many influencers there are, but how many people are still trying to be influencers and like, just the whole world of it. And it's, I truly believe that it's becoming oversaturated.
I have two thoughts on that, actually. Okay. My first thought is it does prove that anyone can do it.
Yes.
So if you are interested in doing it, there is room for everyone. I mean, Alex Earle, when did she start? Not that long ago. And look at her now.
I'm believing that's not as true as it used to be, though. Everybody can be an influencer
because who's being influenced? Jimmy, I have two.
Okay.
This is my first opinion. Yes, this is my first opinion. I do think that there, right now, if we're looking statistically, there is room for everybody because there are people starting now that are still popping off. Like
totally.
I know somebody that had 100,000 followers on TikTok a week ago. She's at 650 today.
Yeah, but 100,000 is, you're already an influencer. You're not starting from zero.
You're not starting from zero. I agree with that.
Like if you have zero and zero on both platforms, that's starting.
I agree.
Starting at 100K.
But I do
think
insane. There is room. If you are dedicated, if you have a certain niche, if you know what you're doing and you wanted to start, I think there is room to start. That being said, number two, I think it is really hard as a mom to watch all of this happen, that everybody wants to be influencers and everybody wants to do this exact same job, because I don't want my kids, like, for that just to be what they aspire to. And not saying that that's a bad thing. Like, I know hundreds of really awesome influencers, but I also, like, we need doctors, we need lawyers, we need people going and getting education degrees. We need teachers. We need all of these things. It makes me worried for the next generation that their worth is going to be determined by the amount of followers that they have.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I can see both sides of like, it's a great career. people love doing it. I love my job. I wouldn't want to do anything else. But on the other side of that, not everyone can be an influencer or else no one's going to be influential.
Exactly. And also, like, at some point, like, well, I mean, being dead honest, we can already see it right now. Brands and brand deals, obviously the economy, but also like, because so many people are on the internet now, it's like your brand deals are becoming less and they're becoming less frequent because now instead of having a pool of
20 to 100 people,
you like 1,000 influencers to choose from, you have 10 to 20,000 influencers to choose from.
And you have newer influencers that are coming in that will take any sort of brand deal
because any budget because they just want to make money.
And I've been there.
Which I get it. Have but been like, there. It's just, it's crazy to see the involvement of like, you couldn't even think or blink about getting a brand deal until you had at least 10,000 followers. And then it was like $100.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I see people with 1,000 followers, like buying a blue check mark. They're like getting brand deals. They're like, it's just crazy to see. And like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just really like, really weird to see that involvement in like a 2-year time span.
And like I said, I think that they're, I think having so many, I mean, we're part of the problem too. Oh, we're influencers. Like,
completely.
I'm not saying that we're not. I'm just saying at some point, being an influencer is not going to be influential.
Well, and it's also not going to be a career because it could, it can't be. If every single person is a, it's like if all of a sudden every single person in the world wants to be a doctor.
Not everybody can be a doctor.
Like that, then like, what are we, it doesn't make, it can't happen. And so.
I think one of the major reasons that,
it's like, is there just being like a crash all of a sudden?
I think
like,
one of the major reasons that people want to be an influencer is because of the way that it's perceived on social media. I mean, like, oh, look at these girls. They just went to Turks and Caicos. They just went to Miami. They're going on these brand trips. Like, why would you not want to do that? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So it makes sense, like, why everyone's aspiring to be that. And like,
well, and I think especially as moms, people look at other moms and they're like, oh, you're at home. You're making money. I could do that too. Cause like, I need to bring income into my family. Like, perfect. It's easy. Like it looks easy from the outside. Completely. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's so hard because I can definitely see both sides of it.
Me like, too. I'm in
the world trying to grow with everybody else. Like I get it.
Yeah.
I get it how hard it is, but, and how also like amazing it looks to be because it is an awesome job. But at the same time, yeah, I just wonder like, I'm just putting out all my thoughts at some point, is it just going to like crash because there's too many influencers?
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I'm like so encouraging, like, girl, if you want to do it, do it. Like, get on there, show your face, like, do your reels, do your TikToks, like, get out there and do it because you'll only regret if you don't try.
100 I love that.
So I'm just like, I get both sides.
I get both sides. Okay, let's start answering some questions.
Yes.
Okay, this is the first question that I have. Does it often feel like an act?
I'm going to say no.
I agree with that.
I think that people probably think that from the outside because you're showing like, I don't know, you're showing like your fun things and you seem so happy and all the things, but at the same time, I feel like if you knew, and I can't speak for everybody. I'm speaking for like me or you.
Yeah, I know some people that just put on an act.
It completely, but like if you see us and meet us in person and like if you know us in person, we really are like happy, fun people. We like to do fun things. We are genuinely happy people. We're outgoing. So like to me, it never feels like an act. I could not keep up a job that was an act every single day of my life.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you feel like you're having to put an act on, it's not going to be sustainable because people will see through it. A, people will see through it. And B, you're not going to be able to continue doing it every day.
Yep.
There are some days where like, not that I feel like I'm putting an act on, but like I'm not going to show my kids throwing a tantrum. I'm never. Not going to show my kids being disgusting and Pierce throwing up everywhere. Like, so there's days like that that I'm like, it's not more of an act, but it's more of like, I am protecting my peace and not sharing everything.
Completely.
Does that make sense?
Well, and like, yeah, there's so much we share, but there's a lot we don't share too. And one of the reasons, because we have a podcast, we get to share like
more everything things, here. Yeah.
But also, yeah, there's some things you just want to keep private to you. And like, something I always get asked on is like, which this is a me thing, whatever, but people are always like, do a house tour. I want to see. And I'm like, to me, I don't want you knowing where every room in my house is. I don't want you knowing where my kids sleep. I don't want you like, and part of that is just like, I don't trust people, but also I don't know. That's just private to me. Like, I'll show you cute home stuff that I have, but like,
totally.
I'm not a home decor page. I'm not going to do a home tour. I don't want that much of my life shown. You're going to see my house in random stories and you're going to see, and like, if I buy something new, I'll share it and I'll link it. And I don't mind showing you my bedroom, but like, I'm not going to walk from my front door to every single room to my back door because I don't know who's watching my stories.
I completely agree.
I couldn't go through all of them and tell you. And so I don't, like there's some things that just
are better left unsaid.
And some people that's totally fine with it. They don't mind sharing that. That's okay too.
That's okay too.
But like to me, I don't want to share that.
Okay.
Okay, next question, because I feel like this is a huge one. How do you get into management? Is it just freelance or do they have a company?
That's actually a really good question. And I feel like I have a good answer for that. Because when I first started, I had freelance.
Yes.
Just some girl that was on a PR team for a brand that I worked with.
Yep.
She was getting into influencer management and she wanted to take me on as a client. I had about like 30,000 followers at the time and I decided to do it. I don't regret it because I learned a lot from it, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I don't think I was at the point where I needed management yet, because a lot of people think that when you get management, it means they're going to bring you brand deals. That's not the case. Like my management does bring me some brand deals. Like he brought me 3 in the last month, which is honestly better than normal, but it's mostly to manage what you already have coming in.
Totally. I think that that's personally speaking for our management, because I know management companies that they bring 50 to 80% of collabs. But I think that that's just because they're so big.
I had a management company that said they were 50-50 and it was not 50-50 in my time of being there.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, from personal friends, I can see it.
Yeah.
Like we have one friend, they their management brings them 100% of the stuff. Like they said they don't, like she doesn't manage any of like, if she gets an email, she'll send it, but she said more than maybe 90% of her stuff comes from her management company. So I think that that's like, obviously I feel like that's just different for every person.
Yeah.
How big you are, what platforms you have, can you even manage your inbox to send it to people? How big is the management company you're with? That's a huge one.
Definitely.
Do they have deals and information and emails to every PR team out there? You can think of Nike, Lulu, Athleta.
I will say too, like, don't get a management company because you want like more deals.
Yeah.
Because
no.
Like most of those bigger companies, they want you to be bringing in $10,000 to $20,000 of brand deals on your own before they will even sign with you.
I would say even more than that, probably. Like,
yeah.
I mean, who knows? But I'm just, yeah, I totally agree. That's why I'm saying, how big is your management company? How big are you?
Totally.
That affects everything.
Yeah.
Because
really vet your management company. Before I chose my management company, I had probably like 3 different conversations with different management before I signed with them. Yep. Because it's scary. You're putting your brand in somebody's hands and you're putting your life in, like your income and your career, and read the contract, make sure that your contract doesn't say that you can never leave them. And
Well, and I think for more than not, people want to know like, I guess like how it works. Like we send them our emails.
Yeah. So let's just do a big brand for instance. Okay. Yes. Let's say Abercrombie reaches out to me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Laura's manifesting. They reach out to me and they say, hey, we want a TikTok, a reel, a post,
and
a story set. What's the price? And a year of
an
exclusivity. Yep. And they ask me, what's your price? So immediately all I do is I forward it to my manager.
Yep.
And then he comes back to them and he says, this is our base rates for all of these things. We can maybe bundle everything together and charge you this amount for
it. Let us know what your budget looks like.
Yes. And then they'll come back and they'll say, okay, for that budget, we can do a story and a TikTok. Let us know if that works for you. And then
they agree on a price. A contract is sent over. You sign the contract. From there, you get your brief, meaning like they'll send you everything you need to post, what products you need, kind of an outline. And then from there, you create your content.
Yep.
And so then when you get paid, it's usually 30, 60, 90 days later, which is the worst part. And we have a follow up question on that later. But you get paid 30, 60, 90 days later, and then you split, you take 80%, your management takes 20%, at least for us. That's what our management does.
And I'd say base around industry is 15 to 20%.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of anybody doing less than that.
No,
me neither. I have heard of people doing more than that.
Yes, completely. And there, I have friends who have multiple management companies. They have one for their TikTok, one for their Instagram, one for their
podcast,
for their YouTube, one for their podcast. Like there's, you don't have to sign one agency or management company for everybody. And I would say management companies, you'll find them on Instagram, but like they reach out to you because they're kind of looking, they're all active on all platforms. So they're looking at people who are posting, they're looking at their following, their engagement, all the things. And then they reach out to you. You have a conversation, you feel if it's a good fit and so on and so forth. So yeah, I think that that kind of covers management, I think, right?
Yep, I think that is good.
Your turn.
My turn. Somebody asked about doing brand ambassadoring for small shops. And if it was a good idea, it seems fishy. Here's my thought process. If it seems fishy, don't do it.
Yeah, I agree.
I did.
If they're commenting on your photo 100 times, fishy.
I completely
move on.
Yes. I have been a brand ambassador for, that's how I started. That's what we did. That's literally how I got started. So no hate against being a brand ambassador. I think you just need to choose really carefully of what you're getting yourself into. I know that there's brand ambassadors who are like, you get 15% off for your 3-month term, but you have to post 3 photos a month, which means you're spending how much money on clothes because you only get 15% off.
Like, would you buy that anyway? That's the first question.
That's a really good question.
Like, are you just doing it because you want to like be a brand ambassador, or are you doing it because you're like, I actually love this shop, I would buy these clothes anyway.
Yep.
If they're going to give me a discount. Also, no shame in trying to like hustle a little bit. Like, hey, totally. I'll be a brand ambassador. I'm going to post once a month and I want 50% off.
Yeah.
Like, depending on your following and where you're at.
Totally.
Like, definitely negotiate.
One other thing I used to do when thinking about like taking free clothes or taking a discount, whatever, I would go to the brand's tagged photos on Instagram.
Such a good idea.
See who's tagged them. Make sure they're not all bots, because like sometimes they are.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they have nothing tagged, or they look cheaper. It's just clothes from like Amazon. China, Shein, Amazon, and it's not a real company. So those are the things that I would do to kind of be on the lookout for it. Smart. And is it worth your time and energy?
Yeah.
Is 3 posts for 15% off worth your time and energy? Yep. If it's not, don't do it. If it is, do it.
Do it. I love that. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
You're up.
Okay. Just, I guess since we're speaking about management, a lot of people want to know, how can someone become a social media manager? I have like 20 plus of those.
Oh.
I feel like that's a good one, because maybe you don't want to be an influencer, but maybe you want to be in the social media world, or you know a lot about it, or like there's a lot of gurus too, which I think is a really cool like niche to have.
I agree.
You look for trending songs and sounds and captions and you like do the whole thing, which I love to follow those people. I'm like, oh, what do you got here? But, my advice would be like, look at management companies.
Yes.
Go see.
You could even ask like, do you need an intern? I'll do like, I just want to shadow you. I just want to ask you some questions.
Get something on your resume.
Yeah. Like, instead of just jumping full force, because I feel like right now in the influencer space, it's mostly big influencer agencies.
Yes.
It's not so much like one individual person.
And they probably don't want to take on somebody who doesn't really know like the whole entire industry.
So if you could get a relationship with them, form a relationship, ask questions, learn more about the industry.
Move up in the company.
Yeah. And then you can kind of go from there.
Yeah. I love that. Cause I feel like that if I didn't do social media, I would think being a social media manager would be really fun.
Me too.
Cause you're still like in the world, you still get to know it. You get to like know a lot of influencers and you get to go do like fun things, but you also like
art.
Yeah, you aren't creating an influencer, content. You don't have to create content and you get to make money. So
totally. Okay. Do you ever get drained? Do you see this being your forever job?
Drainage? I think for sure.
I think the drained doesn't come from the people, the comments, the stories. I don't think it comes from any of that. I think my personal drain comes from feeling drained creatively.
Yes.
Especially because I do feel like I'm more on a content creator end than an influencer end.
Yep.
Like,
people probably don't know what the difference of those are.
So here's what I think the difference is. Yes. And maybe I'm wrong, but this is what I see.
I'll correct you. No, just kidding.
Okay. I see an influencer as more of a salesy person.
Yes.
More of
the link girlies.
Wear this. Here's my LTK. Here's my Amazon storefront. Here's a haul. Here's my top 5 Amazon products. I see those as more of influencer girlies.
Me too.
I see content creator girlies more as doing the trends, doing the funny things.
Doing reels and TikToks.
Yes.
That aren't based off of buying something off of a link.
And they're not, I would say content creation is maybe, I don't even want to say less aesthetically pleasing.
But could be, yeah.
But could be.
You're not, yeah.
You don't have to try.
If you go look at a girl who's an influencer link girly versus a content creator, their page isn't going to look the same. It's going to be a lot more curated.
Yes. So,
which isn't a bad thing. That's how they want to make money.
And so for me, being more on the content creator side right now, mm-hmm. I think I've gone through waves of being,
wanting to,
figuring out where I stand right now. I feel like I'm in a wave of content creation. So when I don't know what to post and I feel drained of creative ideas, that's when I get drained. It's not because of the people. It's not because of hateful comments. It's not because I feel like the need to keep up with things. It's mostly because my creativeness is not functioning at the high level that I want it to.
Yes.
That's when I feel drained.
I totally agree with that.
I also feel drained when, like, I'm trying to think of a way to say this. Like, okay, for Pierce's birthday, for instance, this is a really good example.
Okay.
For Pierce's birthday, I spent the whole day with him. It was the best day ever. I felt like we got to spend so much time together and hang out. But then at the end of the day, I sat down and I was like, I didn't do any content today. That's when I feel drained, because yes. then I feel like I'm lacking because I spent time with my family and didn't focus on social media. But I should have, because I was, that's a perfect example of a day that I should be posting.
Yeah, the drainage comes from the fact that it never ends. You can't wake up and, like, you can wake up and take the day off, but it feels like you feel can't. Stressed.
Yeah.
You feel stressed all
and
day.
And I felt stressed about spending the day with my family off my phone. And then I looked in the mirror and I was like, no. That's a day I should never feel sorry for.
That's a day I should be excited that I didn't even have to think about social media.
Exactly.
And you still shared, but you didn't share what you, like, every.
And I did videos after the moment.
Yes.
Like, we went to the butterfly thing and I did a video there, but like, we took videos there, but then I didn't worry about posting them until
after
until my kids were asleep.
Yep.
Like, I spent a moment cuddling with Pierce on the couch and like, DJ took a cute video of that and I posted that. So like, you can make up for the moments, but those are the moments I feel like I would feel like the most drained.
Yes.
Overall. And yes, I see this being my forever job, but I feel like I would put less pressure on myself, because right now, like, I'm the sole provider of my family. Yep. And like, DJ's been in school for 7 years. Like, so I just feel like not a burden, but like, it's on me.
Oh yeah.
And when DJ's working, I feel like it's not going to be as much on me as it has been for the past like 5 years. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'll feel more okay with like taking a day or two off than I have felt in the past.
Yes, completely.
Do you feel like it's going to be your forever job?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see myself stopping doing it. So yeah.
So yeah.
I think it's hard to say that, because.
Also, influencing could be like not a thing anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm like, yeah, I have no plans of like quitting and deleting my account one day.
I don't
like,
ever see that happening.
Exactly.
For me.
But if I'm 50, do I think I'm going to do this? I don't know. Who knows what the next platform will be? Who knows
totally.
If influencing will be a thing? So yeah, no, I think that's kind of answers it.
Okay.
How do you manage the lump sum of money when you get paid for a brand deal? I think that's a good question, because when you get paid for a brand, like I said, it's 30, 60, 90 days later, sometimes 120 days later on some brands. Didn't you have a brand like that?
Yeah, probably.
And you get like an influx of money, but you haven't had a paycheck
for
30, 60 days.
Yeah.
And so I think it definitely takes time to kind of figure out how, because you're like, oh my gosh, I got like a good amount of money. This
I
is great.
I totally get this.
But you have to kind of like budget out like, okay, wait, but this amount already went to this and I need to pay for this. And like, I have all of these things kind of like lined up waiting for this.
I feel like it's like not that different than living paycheck to paycheck. Like, it's a bigger sum probably than like a paycheck would be, especially if you're working like part-time full, like, I don't know.
Yes.
But it's kind of the same way. Like, I know a payment's coming. Like, yes. I have a payment that I know is coming May 29th. I know what it is. And in my head, I'm already planning on how to use it. I'm like, okay, we need to make sure that we put our deposit down for this. We need to pay for this.
Yep.
We have this payment to pay for. And then let's take out this much money for our mortgage. Yep. Like, I feel like, yeah, it's like doing it long enough that you're like, I see that check coming through.
Yeah.
And you start placing it in different places.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that it's harder when you, or like, for example, so I have a payment that was supposed to be due April 29th. I've been counting on it. We just bought a house. Like, I have a lot of payments due all of a sudden. I still haven't received it. So like, brands can be late and it's very, very
and it
frustrating.
It really doesn't matter.
No, and it doesn't matter. Like, if it's your job and you're working at Target, for example, they have to pay you. Like, if they don't pay you, you can go into you can talk to your manager and be like, hey, I didn't get my paycheck. Give me my paycheck. I need it. It's direct deposited. Like, this is so different, because if a brand doesn't submit it on time or if they don't pay you, like, all you can do is be like, hey, manager, can you please reach out to this brand? I haven't gotten paid yet. And so that can be really, really frustrating. And when you're counting on money, like, if you really were living paycheck to paycheck and you had rent due the next day, like, you can't control it. And that's the hardest part. You can't, most brands pay on time, but there's times they don't.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think this goes really good into my next question, actually. Like, that is a really good segue.
Yes.
Do you think this is a sustainable business that will continue through your career?
Sustainable business? Like, I'm confused by that.
I feel like the way that she worded it is confusing. Do you think influencing is a sustainable business?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, people have been doing it for 10,
20 years.
Like, so long. Yeah. Like, some of the OG influencers have been making money off the platform for years and years. I don't see that changing. I see a change in growing, obviously.
I see a change of the next like generation of influencers is kind of going to overtake the OG influencers. Yes. Does that make sense?
Oh, completely. Because it's a totally different world out there.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but like YouTube and Instagram and TikTok all changed their platforms, like, to how much they pay you. So you can also make money. You make money from brand deals, but you can also make money off of the platforms themselves for views and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they changed their like amounts they're paying like drastically.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of creators that depend on that for view money, they're getting like way less money a month than they normally would.
Yeah. Instagram took away the creator fund altogether.
And so you can't make any money.
And TikTok is like 2 cents for every million views.
Yeah. You get paid like, you have a video that hits 13 million, you'll make like $5.
Here's my thing about it being sustainable. And maybe this is a really bad way to think about it, and I'm really sorry if it is, but I'm just going to say it. For me, it's been sustainable for the 5 years that I've needed it to be sustainable for.
Yep.
We never went into my career, what I'm doing right now, as this is my entire livelihood. This is what we're doing for the rest of our lives. DJ's in his doctorate.
Yep.
This was to support us through his doctorate. This was never on my mind that this is the only thing that we are going to depend on for the rest of our lives.
Completely.
And for me, that's always given, and because I see this question all the time, like, is it actually sustainable? What are you going to do if influencing goes away? My husband has a job. My husband went to his graduate school.
Like,
we're okay.
You have to have a backup plan.
Like,
because it is so uncertain.
It is uncertain, but
like, what if tomorrow every app gets deleted?
And that's okay. What I feel like that's a question everyone asks, like, well, what if? Well, what if I didn't do social media in the beginning and I couldn't have paid for DJ to go to grad school? What if I didn't even try and we wouldn't be where we are now? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's so many what ifs. If you want to do it, go for it. Yep. Like, just go for it. But if you're worried about it not being a sustainable career and reliable, like, then it's probably not the job for you.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
No, I love that.
I had absolutely nothing to lose when I started. I was working for my dad. I was working part-time. Yep. I was already interested in, like, taking photos and, like, cute outfits and doing it. Like, and then I didn't quit my job until I was making double what I was making at my other job.
Yes.
And then it has sustained us for 5 years. And for me, that's more than what I could ask for.
Exactly.
Because I didn't expect to be where I am now at all. It's sustained me for the time I've needed it to sustain me. DJ's done with school. He can start working and then we're not going to have to worry about it being sustainable or not.
Like, exactly.
Obviously, I love my job and I never want to stop doing my job and I've fallen in love with it. But it's also like the job security really doesn't worry me as much as it used to.
Yeah. And I can see why people ask that, because if that is your only plan and that's your only job,
That's scary.
But if you have a backup plan, you're going to be okay. You'll figure it out.
And more likely than not, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the future. That's how marketing works.
Yep.
That's just kind of how it is.
I agree.
Okay. Favorite and least favorite brand deal and why? It's kind of a fun one. I'm trying to think of my favorite brand.
Trying to think of my least favorite brand.
Oh, I know my least favorite one.
Are you going to say it?
Yeah, I am. My least favorite brand deal was FitTrack. It's a scale that they sent me.
Yeah.
They never paid me. They never sent, I had like put my link out. People bought this scale. They never sent it out to anybody. Like, horrible. I will say their name because that's bull crap. That they never even paid me to do the content. They just completely ghosted me. It was in 2021. Like,
well, I signed that contract. And then once you were having issues, I backed out of my contract. It was such a good contract.
No, I never got paid. Never did. They sent me the scale. I got the scale, but I like told people to go buy it and people bought it because it was such a cool product. And then they never received it in the mail. That's horrible.
No, that is horrible. Like, it makes you look bad.
It makes me look horrible, even though
you had the product.
I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, I showed the product and I said I liked the product because I did. But like, I bought one with my own code. I bought one for a gift for my brother-in-law, Kat's husband, Cameron. And I bought it for Christmas and he didn't get it for a year.
Yeah, he got it.
I followed up with him every single month for an entire year.
Yeah, that was a bad brand deal.
Like, it was horrible. So that was definitely my least favorite brand deal.
My favorite brand deal has been Anthropologie.
Oh, that's a good one.
Not because of the pay. Yes. Honestly, it was one of the lowest brand deals I took.
Yep.
But just because it was really cool to work with them, it was
a That's like a dream brand.
It was a dream brand. Yep. And it was really cool. That was a really cool one, honestly. And they worked with me for like 7 months straight.
That's a cool one.
I like that one. It was really cool. I love the relationship I developed with them. It was just overall really good. So
I like that one.
I try to think of a least favorite.
My favorite has probably, I have two that come to mind. Number one is Pampers, because that's just cool. To work with a brand that I already love and use, and it's like a big brand. Yep. I love when I get like a big brand in my inbox. I'm like, oh my gosh,
I'm
like,
huge.
This is so cool. But I also love working with Dime Beauty, because they're just really easy to work with.
Totally. I love that.
Love their products. Like, it's a very genuine one for me. It's so easy. I don't have to think about it. I use it. I tell all my friends and family. Like, it's something I don't have to try to like
force.
Buy this and like, let me try it first. It's like, I already used it. I loved it. I still love it.
Good to go.
I'll use it till I die, if they're still around, hopefully.
Okay. There's two brands that come to mind for worst.
Okay.
One I never actually worked with, but we signed a contract.
Okay.
I was so depressed. And it's not because they're a bad brand. It was actually like one of like the dream brands for me.
Yes.
And then they literally just like ghosted us and stopped replying.
That's the worst.
It was American Girl Doll.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I was over the moon excited.
Oh, yeah.
And my manager followed up 7 times. Nothing. We heard nothing back. He finally found another contact, reached out to them, and they were like, oh yeah, sorry, the campaign's been put on hold. And I'm like, we literally signed a contract.
It sucks because you have zero control if that happens. They'll go over their marketing budget and just say, sorry, we can't do this campaign, let's cut it.
And they just ghosted me.
And then they don't even tell you. It's like, dude.
The day my content was due was the day they finally got back to me. And they're like, sorry, it's on hold. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Thanks.
So that sucked. But it wasn't like, I still think I would have had a really good campaign if we would have gone through with it.
And if they reached out again, it had nothing to do with the brand. It had to do with the fact that their marketing budget got cut.
Totally. One campaign comes to mind that I got a lot of hate on. It's not the product. I loved the product. I know this is like not exactly what you asked, but I'm just going to say
okay.
It. Because I can't think of a bad brand I worked with, to be honest. Can you?
I don't know all your brand deals.
I can't remember one that I like really hated working with. I did a video for Wellmint's. Love Wellmint's.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
The company, the brand, the way they handled this was amazing.
Yep.
But I did a video and I was like, my daughter was sick, so we went and picked up some medicine at Target. And I got absolutely wrecked in the comments.
You got destroyed on that video.
Like, and the brands have never let me turn off comments for a brand video, and they let me turn my comments off. They like apologized a million times because they had to approve
it. Their content and their brief was taking your sick kid to go buy medicine.
Yes.
And so, and unfortunately.
And then everyone was like, why would you take your sick kid? She wasn't sick. It was a video.
She was not sick.
She literally was not sick.
It was
sick.
Showing you if your kid is sick, go buy Wellmint's.
But I did say she's sick.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so that was a learning.
Part of it's on you.
Yes.
To like, maybe you should have gone back and said, hey, I'm not going to show this because I might get hate.
And I can do a drive up.
And I'll do a drive up. But the other part is on them for even suggesting that in the first place.
And like, and they were so kind.
Yep.
When the whole thing happened, they were like, she can take it down if she wants to and we'll still pay her. Like,
Wellmint's is an amazing brand. Wellmint's, yeah, nothing about the brand.
I could not say enough good things. That was fully on me and maybe a miscommunication.
Yes.
And
I actually know a brand deal that was horrible for you.
Wait, are you going to say it?
Yeah, I am. Who cares? It was Dawn dish soap.
Oh my gosh.
Kenzie had an absolute nightmare. First of all.
Okay.
Content when Payson was like 1 year old.
In my rental.
In her rental house, in her pink kitchen. So like it's very, very visible that it's a pink kitchen. And did all of her content, words on it, real. Stories, everything.
Everything.
Literally everything. TikTok.
Okay, I remember the timeline. It was October. I moved at the end of October.
You moved in November, right?
Yep.
Yep.
We didn't post until February.
And then they wanted to change the entire campaign. It wasn't about the...
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't about the...
Yes.
It was about like wildlife rescue all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, you're right. That was a really bad one, but they did pay me really well. So.
They made up for it.
And they paid me more for all the edits.
It wasn't on Dawn Dish Soap, but like... It was horrible because, first of all, their first edits they wanted, you changed the entire video.
Yeah.
It took you quadruple the amount of time any other brand
it
would
take. It was so bad. It was so bad. You're so right. That one was really bad.
That was bad.
Again, it definitely wasn't on the brand. It wasn't like they didn't pay me or they didn't send their products out. It was just complicated.
Those complicated briefs that they send you and you're just like,
what?
What is happening?
Still love them. Posting was great. Paid me on time. I use it every day. But that campaign itself was rocky.
It was rocky.
That was rocky.
That was kind of a fun one.
That actually was a really fun one.
Go back and dream.
Am I up?
Yes, you are.
What's the difference in compensation for podcast ad versus Instagram ads?
Ooh. I would say that's hard to say because, like we've already said before, it's hard because you don't know how much a brand's going to pay. You don't know what their budget is. If it's a good brand, you'll take lower. If it's a bad brand, you want to be paid higher. So your stories can really differ.
Like, and on top of that, we split. When I'm posting an Instagram story, I get paid for it.
Yeah,
when
you should start splitting that.
When we do a podcast ad, we split it.
Exactly.
So that makes it half of what it should be.
Yes.
So that makes it seem like a lot less money.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, so we, but our podcast rate is a set rate every single
every
ad.
Time.
Like our Instagram story, one story I can get paid thousands of dollars, one story I can get paid $500.
Exactly. And on top of that too, with the podcast, we could have 0 ads or we could have 7.
Exactly.
And so that makes it hard
too. One episode we're going to make a lot and one episode we make none.
Yep.
And so right now we're,
the podcast has been really good
the podcast
past month.
Has been amazing for us this past month and we love our agency so much and yeah, it's different, but that was a good question.
I know. I feel like that's like a hard one because people like don't know much about podcasts.
My like dream would be that I could take less Instagram stories and we could do more podcasting and make more per ad and have more downloads and we could do that.
I agree.
I agree with that. That would be fun.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's do one more each.
Okay. If one more each, I got to pick a good one now.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Dang it. Okay. I kind of have a couple, but.
Okay. It's fine. You can do more than one.
Okay.
We'll skip our girly gossip today.
Okay. Do all influencers get the same deals at the same time? Seems like they all advertise the same thing.
That's a really good question. Yeah. It's very strategic on the brand's part to
Which
do
makes
that.
Makes sense because you're seeing something 40 times in a day. You're like, frick, do I need this now?
Yep. And you're seeing it on different people, platforms, different skin tones, different sizes.
Body types.
And,
yeah.
And I mean, it takes what they say, like it takes like 100 times to buy something after seeing it.
Yep.
So brands are always going to push out the same day. It's normally like a couple day or a week window. Like you can post from this date to this date.
Yep.
Pick something in between it. I truly, truly feel like that's happening less and less.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I think it used to happen all the time that everyone posted the same ads on the same day, but I think that brands have less of a budget now.
I also think there is a, not really a problem, but there's an influx of brands out there as well. It's not just influencers, but like, okay, people see Dime Beauty. Wow, they're amazing. They're growing. They're huge. They are able to pay all these influencers. Like, I want to create a brand like them and blow up.
Totally.
And so there's like all these other brands as well that are like trying to make it and be out there. And then like as an influencer, like I'm
stuck,
quote unquote, stuck with Dime Beauty.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow, if I post Tula, you guys are going to be like, you're inauthentic. You're lying. This is stupid.
Yep.
I don't trust you anymore.
Yep.
And so once you kind of, especially like on a skincare or something like that, where it's, you use it every single day, if it's like a random product, whatever, but if it's a skincare item or like a makeup, even sometimes like baby wash, baby diapers, like, it's hard to like change those up.
Yeah.
It's hard to change them and to like feel authentic changing them.
Totally.
And so anyway, I don't know. I think that there's more brands coming out there too. And so I feel like there's less influencers all promoting the same brand the exact same day.
I agree.
Okay. But that was like my roundabout.
But it's strategic on the brands to do that.
Completely.
Okay. Do you ever get annoyed that your phone is blowing up with DMs all day?
Yeah, but you can just turn it off.
I have my notifications for Instagram like, turned off.
Yeah, I don't have a
message. Along with that is how much time do you set aside to reply to people?
I don't set aside a certain amount of time a day.
Me neither.
It depends on what. I know if I'm posting something, if I'm going to get engagement or not.
Same.
Like, I know my audience. I know if I post something random, I'm not going to get a lot of engagement. Well, yeah, random.
Like depending on, like, what it
depending
is.
Depending on what it is.
Yeah.
And so I'll know, like, oh, if I post this, I'm about to get
good
a lot of engagement on it. And so, like yesterday, I got so many people reaching out, like congratulating Justin. And I hearted as many as I could. And then I just replied like, thank you to ones that were like, felt a little bit longer, more heartfelt. Like I would reply to them.
Yeah, I definitely don't have like a set time apart. I would say like the biggest time of the day that I go through messages at is like at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, or like.
Mine's during like school pickup.
Yeah, like that's a good one. Like you just have like a little bit of extra time to like go through messages.
Just go through messages.
So. Definitely like, but I do turn my notifications off because then I would just be on my phone all day.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I saw a message, I would like not be able to ignore it. Yeah. I'd like need to reply right away. But if I go in at the end, like when I do have time, then I get to actually respond to people and have like the time and like, you know.
Yep. And just one last question, because I thought this was a good one and it's pretty simple. Do you make money if we just click on links or do we have to buy?
Depends on what it is. Well, it's not that we'll make more money, because like, let's say it's an ad. If you see hashtag ad or hashtag paid partner or the paid partnership thing, always click on the link. Yes. Don't buy it. But we get credit for link clicks on those. If it's like you asked me for a link to address and I put a link to address, you don't need to click it. But when it's an ad, we don't get paid more. We just look better.
Exactly.
We just look better.
It's they ask me at the end of a campaign for link clicks. So the more link clicks I have, the more satisfied they are, in turn, sometimes they'll want to re-sign with you. Because I think that that's also a big difference of like influencers versus content creators. There's a big difference of posting ads for brand awareness and posting, like there's some ads you get that are 100% like return ROI. Like they want the return of the investment that they're making in you. They want it to be so that other people buy it. Where some brands just want their name out there. They want people to see it. They want people to be interested in it. And then they see it again and they'll end up buying it. So yeah, it all just depends, but hopefully we answered.
I feel like I could do like another 2 hours.
I know some of your guys is good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We've gone along today.
I know.
Hopefully we answered some of those good questions. I feel like we kind of wanted to do an update on just social media in general. And we got off a tangent on the track, which is really funny.
Gosh. Yeah. That took us like 20 minutes. Sorry if you like got a little bit, but it was interesting.
It was interesting.
We do have some girly gossip, but we'll save it for next week.
Yeah. We'll save it for next week.
And we'll still gossip.
We'll still gossip.
Gossip's my favorite.
Gossip is the best, truly. So anyway, we love you guys so much. And don't forget to be on the podcast or on our Facebook page.
And if you're on our Facebook page, our hot take this week is about the in-laws and celebrating holidays with them.
Yes.
Let us know your thoughts.
Let us know your thoughts. Like, do you celebrate
St. Patrick's Day
with your in-laws? Like, what is happening?
Is it weird that I celebrate Valentine's Day with my in-laws? Let me know.
Let me know what your hot
take I'd love
is.
To tell my in-laws.
Yeah. So anyway, do that. And we love you guys so much. And we'll see you guys next week on the
Codependent Podcast.